Today's reading can be found on your handouts. It's Isaiah 11 to 12, verse 2. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Paphos, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. He'll raise a signal for the nations and will assemble the banished of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, and those who harass Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not be jealous of Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall swoop down on the shoulder of the Philistines in the west, and together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall put out their hand against Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites shall obey them. And the Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt, and will wave his hand over the river with his scorching breath, and strike it into seven channels, and he will lead people across in sandals. And there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant that remains of his people, as there was for Israel when they came up from the land of Egypt. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation.
Today, our topic is the heart of Christian salvation. What is at the very heart of salvation, according to the Bible? You can imagine for a second that the Christian message were an apple. Just bear with me. The Christian message were an apple. Today, we're not just looking at the core of the apple, we're looking at the pip, at the core of the core, as we look at chapter 12 of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. This means that if we're here investigating Christianity, and I hope there are some here who are doing so, you are very, very welcome. And today is a great chance for you to see what is being freely offered to you in Jesus Christ at its very heart. And if we're following Jesus, hopefully, I think it's a chance to press the reset button. Sometimes we need to do that, don't we? To press the reset button and come back to the very heart of it. Speaking to some of you over the last few weeks, the pressures of life in the city, the deadlines, the demands, particularly as we approach Christmas, can suck the joy out of you. Well, today is a chance to remember the fact that has changed your eternity, if you are a follower of Jesus. What does salvation mean, according to the Bible? What does it mean to be saved? Well, for many, this idea of Christian salvation, that word salvation comes with baggage, and it is to be avoided at all costs. For many people, Christian salvation is being rescued out from all the fun. It is being the child who gets picked up first from the party. It is the adding of religion to an already weary and tired life. That's what many people think Christian salvation is. Winning the lottery, on the other hand, well, that would be much more like it. Apparently, there's currently a £76 million lottery ticket that was bought somewhere in Scotland, I think Boston and Skegness, and the person hasn't come forward. It's Euro Millions. That was a couple of weeks ago. If that's you, then I suggest you go forward and get that money, £76 million. But I hope today that we will see that the Christian salvation is infinitely more exciting even than the salvation that £76 million might offer. I really just have one point today, and it's there on your sheet, and it's from verse 1. The point today is that the heart of salvation is to be brought into a restored relationship with our Creator. The heart of Christian salvation is to be brought into a restored relationship with our Creator. Verse 1, in that day you will say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. verse 1 is the content of the salvation promised in Isaiah at its very core. It is the essence of the salvation that Isaiah the prophet is promising. Verse 2 is the conclusion. And verses 3 to 6, which we'll come to next week, are the implications. Chapter 12 of Isaiah really is the essence of the message of the whole book. Chapter 12 is one of two places where he prophesies what people will say once they have finally understood everything that God is doing. In that day you will say. This is the people who've been rescued, as we remember from a few weeks ago, rescued from the second Exodus. This is the song of those who've been rescued by the second Exodus. In that day you will say, and then verse 1 is the content, verse 2 is the conclusion. And verse 2 we see, behold, God is my salvation. That is the conclusion. Indeed, Isaiah's name means God has brought salvation. So here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12, we really have the essence of the message of Isaiah. And the essence is this, it is a restored relationship with God. Though you were angry with me, finally they will recognize, the saved will recognize that things were not right between them and their creator, that there was enmity, that there was a severed relationship. Indeed, they'll realize that the root of all their troubles and their sufferings in this life is traceable all the way back to Genesis 3, where the relationship between God and man was ruptured. Though you were angry with me. But though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. They will realize that God has turned his anger away from them and that it has gone somewhere else. And instead, he welcomes them into an eternal relationship of comfort. It's as if the storm clouds that hang over them, that the dark, angry clouds that hang over their life have parted once and for all. And the warm sunlight of God's favour, his love, his comfort has broken through. What does that word comfort mean in verse 1? What does it mean to be brought into a relationship with one's creator where he is set upon comforting you? Well, later in Isaiah, God says this. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will gather them in his bosom and gently lead those with young. And so a restored relationship with our Creator is one in which he will gather you up into his arms like a father, like a shepherd. And he will carry you through this life and into his glorious new creation to live with him forever. Speaking of relationships, Brexit is obviously the topic on everyone's minds. My wife said to me the other day, I must have been having a bad day, because she said, look, whatever's happening, you can always just stop and think, at least I'm not Theresa May. Actually, whatever our views on Brexit, I think our sympathies could probably go out to her, can't they? Well, in Europe, the barriers are going up, it would seem. The relationship between the UK and the EU, well, at least, at the very least, they're not coming down. And yet, as the barriers go up in that relationship, in Europe, we can look down at chapter 12, verse 1, and see that for anyone who would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the barriers have come down in the most important relationship of all. You may be surprised to hear that even a no-deal Brexit won't affect chapter 12, verse 1. You may be thinking, however, how can I be sure that this is true? It's such a wonderful idea contained there, restored relationship with my Creator, but is it not a pipe dream? Well, Isaiah was looking forward to a day in which one day people would be able to say this, and now we are living in that day, because we can look back on the moment in history where this relationship was thrown open. As we look back at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we can see all of the elements of that verse 1. We realize that God indeed was angry with us as we see Jesus suffering the punishment that we deserved. We realize that he was angry with us. However, quite literally, we see the moment where God's anger turned away from us onto someone else. I wonder, have you thought, who? Where does his anger go? Who takes it? He takes it on himself. The Father, as he gives the Son, takes our suffering. And the Son gives himself. He suffered himself. God turned his anger in on himself. He took it on himself. This is our God. The cross was the moment at which restored relationship with God was thrown open. I wonder if you remember that at the moment that Jesus Christ breathed his last, what happened on the other side of the city, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, symbolizing the tearing down of the barrier between God and sinful humanity. And so can I say, this is the lottery moment for the Christian. This is the lottery moment for anyone who can see it. I want you just to imagine holding that cheque for £76 million with your name on it, the massive cheque, and you've got the sort of photographers. And there you go, you've got permission to daydream in a sermon. Just imagine holding that cheque with your name on it. But now, I want you to imagine the numbers being wiped off and replaced with the words of verse 1. Though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Why is it that that is of infinitely more value? Well, because the implications stretch into eternity and are limitless. Your Creator made you in the first place, and he made the universe. Do you think that he can't bring you through death? Do you think that he can't remake the world as the place that we long for? Not even £76 million can open up eternity for you in the way that God does. If you're not a follower of Jesus here today, this offer is wide open and free for you in Jesus Christ. What Jesus brings to you at heart, at its very core, what Jesus brings to you and offers to you is a restored relationship with your Creator. And you will see that if you read through any of the gospel accounts in the New Testament, you will see that that is at heart what Jesus is bringing for you. If you are already following Jesus, when was the last time you sat down and just gave thanks to God for the heart of your salvation, for the turning point in your eternity that can never be taken away, a restored relationship with your Creator? Well, what is the appropriate response to this act of salvation? What is the appropriate conclusion? And there we have it in verse 2. Verse 2 is the football chant of the Christian. It's the celebration. It's brimming with confidence. As the Chelsea fan used to sing about Frank Lampard, as Barcelona fans cry out Lionel Messi's name. So the heart cry of the Christian, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. It's almost boastful, isn't it? Of course, the city is full of a kind of boasting as the exec rolls out of the company underground car park in his Ferrari. As CVs whiz around from email accounts to email account this way and that. The city is full of a kind of boasting, probably two primary boasts, either in myself and my achievements or in my money. And the interesting thing is that the Christian is not someone who doesn't boast, but his or her boast is in God. And the question as we begin to close is this: where does this confidence come from? There may be some here today who follow Jesus and are thinking, do you know what? I wish that was me in verse 2. I wish I could say verse 2 like that. But I fear that my version of verse 2 would go a bit more like something like, behold, I think God is my salvation. I think I trust, but I will fear a bit, or, well, actually quite a lot. I think God might be my strength and my soul. I hope he is. And realistically, that will often be the case for us because our trust will never be perfect. But where does this kind of full-blooded football fan kind of confidence come from? This is very important. I want us just to see this as we draw to a close. Notice what is going on in the logic of verses 1 and 2. You see, the person who's been saved is looking back at an act of salvation in the past in order to draw a conclusion about the present and the future. Verse 1, your anger has turned away, past tense. They look back into the past at the great act of salvation by which God restored him or her into relationship with him. But in verse 2, they then draw a conclusion from that about the present and the future. Because you have been my salvation in the past, because you have rescued me and restored our relationship, well, I can say that now you are my salvation today, and you will be my salvation in the future. You have become my salvation. That's what it says, the last phrase. It is forward-looking. So that now I will trust you and will not fear, because you will continue to be my salvation all the way into eternity. It is not therefore that God rescues us into relationship with himself and then leaves us to battle through this life on our own. Rather, verse 2 is a forward-looking conclusion from a past event. So where does this kind of confidence come from? It comes from looking back at the cross of Christ, that great act of salvation. And from that, we draw the conclusion, not just about the past, but about the present and the future. Having brought us out of his anger into his comfort, how much more will he carry me through this short life as a shepherd carries a lamb? I've got a friend who works in Aldersgate area, and he was telling me that he has noticed as Brexit approaches a genuine sort of anxiety in his office. I don't know if you've noticed, that's almost palpable. No one knows if they're going to have a job in 6 months' time. There's such uncertainty and even fear in many offices at the moment. But can you see that if you've been brought into a relationship with your Creator, well, fears of this sort evaporate into thin air. Because nothing can take you out of his arms, whether you have a job in 6 months or whether you don't. It simply doesn't matter in an eternal perspective, because God is your strength and your song. And he will carry you safely through this short life. There's a famous case of a Christian missionary who was translating the Bible into a tribal language. But there was no obvious equivalent word for trust. There was no obvious equivalent word for trust. So he was racking his brains to think, how can I translate that concept into this language? And one day he saw one of the people fall down into a hammock and just relax. And he said, what have you just done? That's what I need. Tell me how to say that. And he used that word or that phrase to translate the word trust. It may be that for some of us here today who follow Jesus, God is just asking us to press the reset button and saying, rest your whole weight on me. I am your salvation. I will carry you safely through this life, whatever the next few days, weeks, months have in store for you. Don't worry. It doesn't matter whether you've got a job or not or whatever it is. Not only will he carry us safely through this life, though, he will carry us through death. Because the scope of this conclusion in verse 2 stretches not just through this life, but on into eternity. Behold, God has become my salvation. There is no end to that. And so if God has become your salvation, he will carry you through death and into the promised land, the new creation, the perfect world under the rule of the righteous King Jesus. So as Christians, we look back at that great act of salvation, that we've been brought into a relationship with God. But as we do that, we draw a confident conclusion about the present and the future. Behold, God is my salvation. He will be my salvation. I will trust and I will not fear. if you're not a follower of Jesus today, don't you long for this kind of safety? In a city that is plagued by fears of all kinds, don't you long for this kind of security? There is only one true release from fear, the Bible says, and that is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find in him the heart of salvation. That is a restored relationship with your Creator and the release from all fear. Don't you long for that kind of security? Let's pray as we close. Behold, God is my salvation. Father, we thank you that you have become our salvation. If we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you will carry us safely through this life as a shepherd carries his lambs. And we pray that you would help us to trust you fully, without fear. And we ask for those investigating things, please help them to understand what is at the heart of salvation and what you're offering. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.